This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. Symbiotica.com.
King Slime is a production of iHeart Podcasts and Heirloom Media.
I just remember this kid walking up to me, and he had a gun to my head. And I just remember him saying, "Give me your keys." So I gave him my keys.
Jeffrey Williams was not at your car holding a gun to you on the day this incident occurred, correct?
That's correct.
You have no reason to tell this jury, no personal knowledge that Jeffrey Williams was in any form or fashion involved with your carjacking on that day, true?
That's correct.
Now, in your knowledge, training, and experience, could someone who was false claiming to be a blood be able to be in the presence of all these other bloods and still be able to throw up symbols and throw up hand signs?
No, they would not.
Why is that?
In gang world, someone false claiming would be subject to likely immediate and physical harm or violence for false claiming the gang.
I'm George Cheedy.
And I'm Christina Lee.
And this is King Slime.
Okay, so we are back to recap days 25 through 29 of the YSL trial. And joining us per usual is our executive producer, Tommy Andres.
Hey guys, thanks for having me back.
And we are also honored to have a very special guest here on this episode. We have Atlanta native, music industry vet, and co-host of the Big Facts podcast. Yes, we're all shedding tears. Baby Jade. Hey, baby Woo. Jade.
I am in turn duly honored to be here.
Oh my goodness. Yes. What is your connection to Young Thug in this trial?
Well, I've known Thug for a very, very, very long time. Actually, since like before he started rapping. And I've been blessed enough to be able to be involved in his musical career and, you know, like a lot of things that he had going on as far as like his rap and, you know, a lot of community things that he's been doing over the years since he started rapping. And he's a very, 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 very good friend of mine.
Okay. Got you. Got you. We're so excited to have you here with yes. your Free Jeffrey hoodie that you have made yourself, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. We have so much that we need to talk about. And so we're really happy to have your expertise.
Let's get into it.
All right. So first, we got to review what's been going on in this trial. So mm-hmm. the prosecution has been spending most of the couple weeks, you know, just trying to establish that YSL is a gang. We've talked about this burden of proof that they have, but the three criteria is of the following. They have to show that YSL is a gang, mm-hmm. that the defendants are part of this gang, and that they're committing crime in furtherance of this gang, right? Mm-hmm. And so all this begins with testimony from a woman named Teravia Hill. Teravia Hill says that in May of 2016, she was carjacked in the parking lot of her Southeast Atlanta apartment complex. There were four men who approached her, and then she remembers one kid, she says in particular, holding a gun to her head.
I just remember this kid walking up to me, and he had a gun to my head. And I didn't notice my daughter crouched down behind the bush that was in front of the house. I don't know if it's still there. And I just remember him saying, give me your keys. So I gave him my keys.
So all this is like super traumatic for her. She very quickly is able to identify one of the gunmen being YSL defendant Christian Eppinger, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to cross-examination, one of the defense attorneys basically says, here's the thing though. Okay, this is all fine and good. This is concerning Christian Eppinger, one of the YSL defendants. Where is Christian Eppinger in this room? So, George, what happened to Christian Eppinger, first of all?
So Christian Eppinger has had a long, strange trip through this trial, and his case has been severed out. He's going to be tried separately on the charges involved here. Eppinger, after he was arrested and convicted for the crime that we're talking about, gets out, and early 2022, January of 22, he... arrested again, or there's an attempt to arrest him. I mean, he was arrested, but not before he shot a cop six times. He has been in jail ever since, and kind of the clock started ticking on the case with his arrest. It was because there was a 90-day window where he had to be charged with whatever you were going to charge him with. About 90 days after his arrest, everybody else in this case got arrested. Part of the reason he was severed out of the case was because he was in some sort of illicit relationship with a prison guard that itself turned into a thing. His lawyer at one point was accused of allowing him access to social media while he was in the courtroom. He's combative in jail, at least according to jail records. He tends to not be a person who deals with authority very well. He was also is accused of attempting to or asking for permission to murder YFN Lucci in jail. Like, essentially, like, there's this communication they say they have between Eppinger, like, Eppinger asking Young Thug, do I have a green light to go after Lucci again? So that's where he is in the case. That's how they've positioned him in the case.
Here's my question, though. If they have that communication, supposedly, we've heard about that before. Obviously, we talked about it in our show. Why isn't that what they lead with? Like, why did they bring the woman who, I mean, he was convicted of this crime. So why did they bring this woman to the stand 2 weeks after she's had a baby, by the way, to get up there and relive this kind of terrible experience?
Giselle, why are you crying?
Because I hate I have to talk about this. I hate I have to be here and I hate I have to talk about this. And I thought it was something once it was done, I'd never have to talk about it again. And every time I talk about it, it just doesn't ever feel like it's real.
How were they trying to tie Eppinger to YSL with her on the stand?
So I think part of this is because it's been this parade of cops, and cops are going to say what cops say. Like, this person is bad. Please put them in jail. But there are, like, I mean, a jury's going to ask questions about whether or not these people are, like, whether or not those police officers or lawyers or whoever you've got on the stand is, you know, doing it because they were getting paid for it. So here's a victim. Like, and this is a person, they're hoping to build an emotional connection between the jury and this victim.
Right. Say,
there are actual human beings who are getting hurt while all of this. This wasn't about some sort of random, like, this isn't music. It's not, this is, like, there are live bodies and here's one of them.
Yeah, but me personally, with situations like that and similar, removing the victim from it completely, because she went through what she went through and that was a terrible thing for her, like, no doubt. But I just feel like the relevance of it is kind of non-existent, because you're trying to tie a crime that an individual did on their own free will to a group of people that you are saying is headed by this one person, and the connection is super thin, for lack of a better way to put it.
I get it. Like, I imagine that they're trying to lay a foundation down. Like, okay, here's this thing, and then they get to the tie. But it feels like we're losing all of that.
Mm,
like,
I
that
agree.
We're wallowing in extraneous nonsense and not, you know,
factual evidence.
Yeah. Show me the money.
Yeah, as right. Prophet would say, show me the cop shit.
I mean, to your point, Jade, the way that they're trying to establish the connection to this gang conspiracy, this isolated incident, comes pretty shortly after that. It's through several dozen social media posts. They refer to it all as tweets, right. But it kind of runs the gamut between Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and so on and so forth. And right. So they'll point to, for example, how Christian Eppinger's display name on Facebook is YSL Briss. And that's significant because it's claiming YSL, but then also switching out the C in his name for a B.
But I can show you a kid from Japan that just DM'd me saying that he's a huge fan of Thug, whose name is YSL Oko.
Mm.
So mm-hmm. Does that make them YSL too? Should they be on trial with him as well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They run through pretty much like the whole gamut. We're talking about like hashtags. You know, Detective Mark Belknap is brought back to basically decipher all of these social media posts and decode the hashtags, this trading out of the C's for the B's and everything. He explains that the hashtag ESPN apparently stands for Every Slime Play Nasty.
What's the date of this post?
April 25th, 2015.
And is there a caption?
There is.
What is the caption?
It says, living life, bro, I'm happy, hashtag ESPN.
Have you seen that hashtag ESPN before?
I have.
And have you seen that associated with individuals or members of YSL?
Yes, ma'am.
And to your knowledge, when it's been associated with YSL, what does ESPN stand for?
It stands for Every Slime Play Nasty.
But I'm trying to imagine from like a juror's perspective just what that is like, because where for every couple dozen of social media posts that the prosecution is presenting to them,
mm-hmm.
the defense is coming from the other side and being like, well, we need additional context. Here's a couple more social media posts to add on top of that. And so that probably easily runs like a couple hundred at this rate. What do you
and
think?
And speaking, not to cut you off, but speaking even about the Detective Belknap situation, I was confused because I was in court on all of the days that he testified or whatever. And speaking to his context, there was an issue on one of the days where he started the trial being an expert witness. And then they brought him back as a factual witness. And then they were going to try to save him and bring him back again as an expert witness. But in the beginning of the trial, when they set the precedent, they said that it has to be either or, like you can't do both because it's a conflict of interest. And he was still allowed to testify the following day. And it's just been like a lot of that type of thing going on that in my mind would completely and totally confuse a jury.
Mm-hmm.
That makes no sense. Absolutely. So I don't know.
I saw Belknap yesterday at the courthouse. I've been bouncing back and forth between the Fonnie Willis testimony and mm-hmm. the YSL trial. And he and I spoke briefly and mm-hmm. in very, very round ways around the case, because he doesn't want to talk about the case
right.
outside of the courtroom. But it's evident to him that this is going to take a long time. And he was looking around like, I'm still here. Yes, I'm still going back. I mean, frankly, I think he's kind of amazed that he's still on the stand in this trial.
How often has social media come up in prior gang investigations? Does it often show up as overt acts, at least in the state of Georgia?
Every time.
Every time.
At least over the last 5 or 10 years. Like, there's the South Fulton Police Department has a gang investigator whose job is to trawl social media.
Yeah. It,
like, that's just a thing now. Like, one of Belknap's things is going around to other police departments and training their police departments in how to use social media to figure out what's going on.
But I think the difference in this is that in all of the other gang cases where social media has come up or been used, it's never been the basis or the primary piece of evidence that the entire case for all of these people has been built off of.
Yeah, that's what's been interesting to me about this, because it seems like they spent that first bit of the day talking about this crime that Eppinger committed that he was convicted for. So definitely, I mean, in the eyes of the law, committed this crime. Mm-hmm. And then they do all this social media stuff where they're like, look at all these different people that were doing the same hand signs and were doing the, you know, saying the same things and using the same emojis and try to tie all these people together. But they still didn't do the third thing, which is they didn't ever say that that Eppinger committed that crime in furtherance of YSL.
Exactly.
So to me, that sort of makes everything else irrelevant, at least for that particular incident. So that's why I was confused when I was watching this. Like, why? How does this carjacking tie in if they're not checking all three of those boxes?
Yeah, and then even like with the hand signs and the gestures and all of that, when the state presented their evidence about, I guess, making the connection when Trontavious was on the stand about how that kind of ties everybody in together and makes them like one unison or like puts everybody on one accord. Then Brian came back and showed LeBron doing it, showed Wayne doing it, showed the football guy doing it, showed all of these other successful public figures doing the same thing. So it kind of goes again to context, because like you said, just because somebody has YSL on their name or just because somebody flips their fingers, that doesn't make them a criminal and that doesn't make them guilty of a crime without evidence. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
And it's interesting because like with all of this discussion about context, how much context can we give to this emoji from both the prosecution and the defense side, we end up at a really interesting debate over some mixtape cover art. So essentially, in response to a tweet that prosecution ended up discussing that featured a snake emoji.
Right.
Brian Steele brings up a series of tweets that were brought up around the same time promoting what was just announced as a collaborative mixtape with Young Thug and Future.
The Super Slimy Tape.
Mm-hmm. And so the series of tweets are up on the screen, including the cover art. And right when Brian Steele is about to, you know, go on to the next thing, Detective Belknap is like, wait, I have some information to volunteer.
Their rival gang, ABG, has a hawk logo that they use on their own clothing and identifiers. As you can see on the cover of this, there is a hawk skull with a snake, the symbol for YSL, climbing through the eyes of this skull of a hawk.
So if you haven't seen the mixtape cover art, there is a snake and then there is a bird skull. I think a lot of fans have taken for granted that the bird skull is representative of Future's Free Bands logo, which features an eagle.
Right.
Detective Belknap, however, said, no, that's not an eagle. This is a hawk. And the reason why this has been significant to detectives is because another gang, ABG, uses a hawk as a logo. And therefore, this is Young Thug calling shots fired over to ABG.
And okay. So not to cut you off again.
Please.
Just going back into the context of this whole thing. Around the time that the whole Super Slimy Tape was coming into fruition, there was a lot of like back and forth about what the name was going to be, what the cover art was going to be, of course, like the songs that were going to go on the tape or whatever. And even outside of like the in-studio internal decision-making, there were also like several covers that were posted on social media that I don't understand if they're so big on social media, why they didn't see that either.
Okay.
But it was probably, I think, about four or five covers that they posted trying to figure out which one they were going to use and which one they were going to have. And the fans actually selected that particular cover because it represented both Thug and both Future. And with the things that they were popularly associated with, which was the eagle for Free Bands and the snake for YSL.
Did you do anything to find out whether that eagle represents the performer known as Future and his record label? Did you do anything?
When we discussed this in terms of the context, I provided the context of what I and other investigators observed at this time. And given what was going on the street outside of just these suites and this music, was that we were almost 3 years into a gang war between those two rival gangs. And as I've stated, seeing similar artwork in reverse with a dead snake and the claws of an eagle, I think it provides additional context to this image that's on the front of this mixtape.
But it doesn't have anything to do with any gang thing. It was the two symbols that were representative, the most popular representation of each artist, and it looked cute on a cover, basically.
So hearing this, I am thinking as a listener, how in the heck does she know this? Like, what, like, so give us a little more of your background here.
I primarily sell cigarettes in a bathroom in Magic City to make my money. No, I'm just but, I've been doing my thing in the industry for a really long time. I started out with the Juice magazine. When we were doing the magazine, we started out, we were like a small publication. And then I was introduced to Big Meech. And when I was introduced to him, he decided that he liked what we were doing and that he wanted to partner with us. And that's how we became like the big magazine that you see today.
Can I just pause out and remind our listeners who Big Meech is?
Yes.
So Big Meech was one of the two brothers that headed up Black Mafia Family, right?
Correct.
Which they went to prison. There's one of them still in prison. One of them, I think, is out.
Right.
But for running a cocaine ring, right?
Right.
Like a cocaine trafficking enterprise. Mm-hmm. And also had an entertainment company,
mm-hmm.
right? Black Mafia.
BMF. Black Mafia Entertainment.
BMF Entertainment, mm-hmm. right. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, continue.
And then, so my job for the magazine was I was a salesperson to bring the labels in and the companies to buy advertisements, but I was also a photographer. Well, the photographer, along with DeWong Valdez from Motion Family. And that's how I really started making a lot of my relationships with a lot of artists and a lot of the industry people, because I was out at night in the club taking their pictures that would go in the magazine. So everybody wanted their picture taken because they wanted to be in the magazine. So in the process of that, I garnered a situation when Meech got locked up with Young Jeezy. I started working for his label. Basically, like, Meech asked him to give me a job when everything kind of like fell apart or whatever. I started doing marketing for CTE, which was Jeezy's label. Fast forward like 8 or 9 years later, I started my own company. When I started my own company, I was able to do like a partnership management type thing with Duct Tape Entertainment. That was Alley Boy Trouble, Big Bank Black. They had a few other artists. And from there, that kind of opened the door for me to start working with like major labels. So that's what I've been doing like ever since. I've been consulting with major labels, doing road management and like events and kind of lifestyle stuff with different artists. And here I am today with a being a fucking co-host. Can I curse?
Absolutely.
Please fucking do it.
Yes, and here I am today, being a co-host on Big Facts. My introduction into that was kind of funny because, you know, me and Big Bank have been like best friends for over 20 years. And he was in the process of starting starting the podcast. He was like, okay, because initially we were going to call it the No Cap Podcast. And I was just going to be like behind the scenes, getting the artists, doing production, stuff like that. And then we got with Scream. We decided to change the name to Big Facts. So they started the podcast. I was doing production, like getting the artist, helping them get everything together, like behind the scenes. But it was like when they were doing the podcast, all of the artist people would kind of like be talking to me off camera. And like, if you look at it, it'll look like, okay, they're talking to a ghost or talking like to the air. So one day Black was like, bitch, you're not finna keep laughing on the side of my shit. Pull up a chair. And then I pulled up my chair and like, I've been there ever since. And like, he's always made sure that I was included and that I was straight. And like, he's a real nigga for that. Like, always.
So given all your experience, just behind the scenes, behind the camera, to now be in front of the camera.
Yes.
Like, this case is super close to you, not only because of your like, work in relationship with Young Thug, but because Duck Type Entertainment is being brought up, you mm-hmm. know, and Big Block Mafia Family is brought up as a point of comparison right, to YSL.
Right. I was there that day.
What do you make of these comparisons?
I kind of feel like it's a reach because of the popularity. But if I was to attest to the similarities between any of these three groups of people, I would say that it would be their undying loyalty to family. Because like I was telling George, like a lot of people don't understand and a lot of people don't know that, okay, Thug has 11 brothers and sisters. When Thug got his first deal, he bought each one of his 11 brothers and sisters a house and a car so that they could have a stable living place for them and their kids, and they could have transportation to get back and forth to school, work, or, you know, whatever like they needed to do. And he doesn't really care about people talking about it, but from his heart, that's what he wants to do. So that's why he continues to do it without the notoriety and the publicity.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com. Where America goes to hire.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back to King Slime. We're joined here by Baby Jade, the host of the Big Facts podcast, and also an expert all around on hip hop in Atlanta and life here. And you know, I want to start by just asking you, what does the word gang mean to you as somebody who's been watching this trial and also grew up in Atlanta and, you know, has had so much experience sort of in this world that is involved in this trial?
Gang to me, honestly, just kind of means like a group of friends. Like, because a lot of people call themselves a gang or say gang, and they don't mean like a criminal enterprise. They just mean like, these are my friends, these are my homies, like we're a group. So to me, like, gang really just means group. Because as far as like Atlanta is concerned, in my personal opinion, gang culture didn't really become prevalent until recently, because Atlanta was really pretty much divided by like the zones and the neighborhoods. Like, it wasn't like Bloods and Crips and Vice Lords or whatever the fuck. Like, it was, okay, you were from the west side, or you were from the east side, or you were from zone one or zone six, or, you know, you were from this neighborhood, or you were from the Bluff, or you were from fucking Mechanicsville or Pittsburgh, or, you know, like wherever. Like, that's how Atlanta like separated themselves. And if there was any type of beef or altercation or whatever, then it was called out based upon like the neighborhood or the side of town or the zone, not a color, for lack of a better way to put it.
So what do you think about, obviously, being in a gang, as we've said 100 times on the show, is not illegal, by the
right
way. It's these three things that have to be proven in order for you to be convicted of a crime, or at least those three things should be met for you to be convicted of a crime. But do you think, I mean, I'm just going to ask you straight up, do you think YSL is a gang the way that the prosecution is claiming they are?
No, I don't.
Anything more you want to add? Or
yeah, because I'm trying to see how to say this. Based upon the evidence that they're presenting, the people that they are, well, some of the people that they are accusing of this furtherance, in my personal opinion, are not furthering, for lack of a better way to kind of put it. And I don't know. I guess we'll just have to see how this all plays out. But this whole situation is just really interesting.
I think I see where you're going with that. Because we were talking about Christian Eppinger,
yes,
before the break. And Christian Eppinger was convicted of an armed robbery, a carjacking, and okay, like, and he did time for it. Like, the question here is, was that an act in furtherance of the gang? Can a man not be left to carjack in peace without dragging his friends into it, if you get me?
Yeah. Well, they never came back to that question, did they?
No, they didn't.
They didn't come back to whether it was tied to
the
gang.
I believe the defense at least said, like, was this ever brought up to the attention of gang investigators? That's probably as far as they went.
Right. And, you know, I don't know if I don't have the answer to that. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's an important answer. Among other things, like, as we were talking with the police department, and with the gang investigation unit at the district attorney's office, one of the things they said is that only up until a few years ago, the police department really didn't investigate gang stuff in like a really deep way. They, like each individual crime would be investigated on its merits without a whole lot of effort being put into, okay, this was a gang crime with this gang. Mm-hmm. You know, in 2016, maybe 25% of cases that the district attorney's office would have actually brought as a gang investigation actually started with some police officer writing on a piece of paper, gang stuff. And now it's more like 60 or 70%, like, because there's been all of this training where the district attorney's office has said, hey, cops, if you see gang stuff, put it on the paper so that we have some evidence so that in a moment like this, we're not asking questions. Was this investigated? And then cut to break.
Well, so what was interesting with the Eppinger thing was I kept waiting for them. They said, okay, he was one of four people in the car. Right. There was the he came up and put a gun to her head and demanded her car. And then an older person came up to her and pointed a gun at her and asked for her purse. So I'm listening to this whole thing. And what I'm thinking the whole time is, OK, these other three people in the car are going to be other YSL members. And that's how they're deciding. That's how they're going to prove that this was a YSL. But they never did that. And did they even reveal the other three identities of the other three people in the car? I mean,
I don't believe they did.
And so I was confused. And so if I'm sitting there as a juror, I mean, I'm just trying to put my juror hat on. But if I'm sitting there as a juror being like, okay, I'm following this. I get it. And then it doesn't check that final box. I'm like, how am I going to, I mean, you have to prove this over beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
You're not giving me the tools I need to be swayed in that you know, I mean...
No, maybe they get to it later.
Maybe they get to it later. But that's the thing with this. That's the thing that I think is so tricky this trial.
Yes.
Is like, when are they going to start doing this?
Like, they only have a notepad.
Like, yeah, and it's like major breakdowns in communication. Like, they'll go to this one thing, and then they'll leave it for 2 weeks, and then try to circle back around to it after it's cold and frozen again. And it's kind of like, it's really kind of like you're starting fresh with somebody with no memory because it's been so many things that have transpired in between until it's like, it's like there's no continuity. And I think that is another interesting thing or tactic by the prosecution.
I mean, if I'm a jury and I'm sitting there for 3 hours listening to this story about this woman being carjacked, and then, you know, we hear all the details,
you're left with a cliffhanger.
But then I'm never satisfied with that.
With a resolution.
And you're right. If it comes in 10 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, the whole point of bringing that woman on the stand is to have the jury have that emotional connection, as you talked about, George. That's gone.
Yeah.
In 3 weeks when we finally get to the supposed, you know, the tying up the loose end of that. So I'm just confused by the tactics as I watch this. Obviously, I'm no lawyer, but as a layperson who could be a juror, I actually have jury duty next week. Like, I'm just like, what is this?
Well, I think anybody that watches Law and Order has enough common sense to understand that this is not really the way.
Well, this is not Law and Order, but the law is not Law and Order. I used to date a defense attorney many, many years ago, and she used to hate Law and Order so bad.
It's not like how it is on TV. I mean, these are all really interesting points because I guess, like, from the perspective of how everything is playing out, I guess, like, all these social media posts are, I guess, being brought up as a logical conclusion or the logical next step to figuring out whether this person, Christian Eppinger, is part of this gang conspiracy. And I wonder if the social media portion is also supposed to compensate, I guess, for looking at these incidents in retrospect. Because, George, you talked about how, like, gang training has only really ramped up in the past couple of years. And so, like, if the evidence isn't there, as in, like, you know, the Law and Order type shit, is this all they have to bank on? Is tweets and vlogs, for lack of a better word, all that they have to rely on in order to draw these larger conspiracy connections?
I would like to imagine, because my thing is, and I'm not referring to Law and Order again, but usually like in a trial, you come out with a bang. Like you start off with and you lead with the fucking no-brainer, hands down, slam dunk.
Yeah.
And then go from there and work your way backwards and plant the seeds to this killer piece of evidence that basically sealed the deal from the beginning.
Yeah.
But if the leadoff is the Instagram post and the tweets, then what else could follow this up?
Yeah.
Because this would, in a regular person's mind, be a follow-up to something bigger. So mm-hmm. if you're leading off with the follow-up, then what else could you possibly have?
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting is that at the beginning of the trial, I guess prosecutors led off with the murder of Donovan Thomas, which everybody says right. the domino that kind of set everything off, right? Mm-hmm. And so in the beginning, like, we're being presented with this as like, this was the turning point and everything. Pretty much since then, the only other references that we've even made back to Donovan Thomas are through like these social media posts. So even over the past couple of days or whatever, to bring back up Super Slimy, when Detective Belknap is like, hey, but listen, there's something to this hawk theory, right? They bring up once again like a social media post. It's literally of somebody wearing a jacket that spells out the word nut life in the back. And then there is a bird emoji. We don't know what kind. Mm-hmm. A bird emoji grabbing a snake emoji on top of it. That's all we have to work on. Versus, to your point, Jade, like, I thought we were going to get into, you know, who was responsible for renting the car, who is responsible for shooting and things like that. But this is what we're having to deal with right now. I'm not sure, we just have questions. We just have questions. There was even videos also being presented about like that were supposedly depicting YSL operating as a gang. We're talking about videos dating back through 2009. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Young Thug before he was even known as Young Thug. When he was called Lil Jeff, 2009, mm-hmm. you know, he's hanging out at a parking lot with his friends wearing the red varsity jacket.
White boy swaggin'.
Lil Jeff say he the king of white swaggin', right? Stand on one time, let just lady folks see what you're doing.
You know, that's
the video on the show, yeah. Yeah.
That is something that Detective Belknap has to reference. And then there's even a video from 2014 where it promises to go behind the scenes in the making of Young Thug's Danny Glover. But then prior to that, it just shows him hanging out, I think on like the deck, but on the back of somebody's house. Do you remember this? It was mm-hmm. like, he's hanging out, he's walking onto the deck. And then there's just like a whole bunch of people hanging out and they're throwing up hand signs. They got a baby to throw up a hand sign as well. But then that's kind of it. There are guns, there are hand signs. But other than that, that's kind of where the video sort of, with all your background, like working in the music industry, taking in the tweets and like seeing like what's being presented like as evidence, like what's your take on this, especially as you're seeing, you know, detectives like dissecting it, like what's going through your mind as you're seeing all this?
I think that there is a humongous, ginormous breakdown in context, because the detectives and the people that are hired to study these things have definitely amassed a wealth of knowledge about, you know, street things, gang things, whatever. But at the end of the day, there's still a lot left to the imagination when it comes to these artists and their creativity. And I believe that's where the breakdown is coming in at, because you can take what you know about gangs and what you know about street criminals and all that kind of thing and look at one thing one way. But when you're dealing with someone who's basically whose job is to create and to, you know, make their money off of things that are going to make them popular and draw people into who they are as a person and as an artist and as a public figure. a lot can get lost in translation. And I think that's what is going on here because, like I said, these people have expert knowledge, not taking anything away from them. But the expert knowledge doesn't meet in the middle where these artists and these other people are using their creativity to come up with something that would, I guess, describe themselves in a creative manner. Mm. And that's kind of, it's kind of tricky and it's also very dangerous.
I'm wondering to what degree what we're seeing in court creates a chilling effect in the community among artists. Like, how is this changing behavior, do you think?
I think that it's definitely making a lot of people think. But at the end of the day, I feel like it has the power to hinder the creativity to a certain extent. Because if you're not able, most rappers capitalize off of either the things that they've been through actually personally or things that they've seen in their surroundings. So if you are, like you said, a 20-year-old kid and you're trying to find your way out by doing the rap thing and trying to make millions of dollars or whatever, and your claim to fame is going to be how you're going to speak to the things that you've seen and the things that you've been through so that other people can relate and buy your music. But if you, on the flip side of it, if you do speak to these things and you do speak to the things that you've been through and the things that you've seen, and it could possibly get you in legal trouble, or it could possibly get you indicted and take you away from your family, or put you in a position where you have to try to get money for lawyer fees that you haven't even made yet, you know, is going to make people kind of think twice about speaking on certain things. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like, where is the Fifth Amendment in all of this? Because you should be able to speak freely about whatever it is that you choose to speak freely about without it being used against you if there's no basis of something illegal being done.
You get it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There is, I guess, speaking of that, there was an interesting point that was brought up by the defense, right? Mm-hmm. While viewing one of these videos, you know, Detective Belknap is identifying folks, even folks who aren't part of this indictment, but who he believes to be part of.
There's been a lot of that going on, too.
There's a lot of that going on. And one of these folks raps under the name Olaplaya. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting is that when defense reviewed it, I think it was specifically defense attorney Max Shart, he was like, didn't you hear Olaplaya describe himself as King Slime in one of those videos? And we have to ask, because it's the name of our show, you know, prosecution has said Young Thug is the King Slime. But what do you know about the origins of that, I guess, in term of endearment?
I mean, it's a loosely used term, like in the hood, because everybody wants to be, because, okay, technically King Slime is like the King Snake. And to a lot of people that don't have an overt understanding of nature, the snake to them is at the top of the food chain. And every guy in the hood wants to be the big dog or wants to be at the top of the food chain. So a lot of people call themselves that, kind of sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy, like, if I'm not already, I'm going to be the big dog at the top of the food chain type thing. So it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of like trying to make Jeff the one and only premier King Slime is going to be kind of difficult because it's so many other people that have adopted that moniker.
Which is really interesting because, yeah, as prosecution has framed it, like, King Slime was supposed to signify, like, the ringleader of this whole thing, you know, the leader of this grand conspiracy.
The irony is that guy's no longer on the case.
Right. Prosecutor Don Geary, right?
Yeah, is somewhere else.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the hack, and we'll release some new information that I think everybody will be excited about.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com. Where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back to King Slime. We're here with Baby Jade and Christina and George, of course. Now, George, I want to turn to you for a second. There was a hack of Fulton County's computer system.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what's going on here.
So, end of January, last weekend in January, hackers from a group called LockBit 3.0, and this is a group that's been hitting computer systems at companies and organizations and governments, a lot of them, dozens and dozens. So, they hit the county. They'd probably been in the county's systems for weeks, pulling documents, anything they thought was interesting or useful. And then they shut the computers down for the county, and they've been down, and they're not back up yet.
No.
Only about a third of the phones are up because everything was on a voice over IP system. But the key thing for us is the computers at the county courthouse were part of the hack. And so even though the folks who run Fulton County had not been admitting this publicly, like, I found the hacker site and I looked and saw what the sort of things they had, and what they had were court records that were sealed. They had like child abuse cases that were under seal. They had secret witness lists. They had snitch lists. They had grand jury testimony. They had medical records that were attached to people's files. They had anything that had gone through the court, with the exception of the Trump stuff, because the FBI has basically had all of that stuff in a freezer, like, where nobody can get at it. But the YSL case is there too, including all the stuff that we haven't seen, and the jury list, and the identities of the jurors. And I was looking at this like, if that jury list is published, that might be a mistrial.
Right.
Like, at the very least, it sequesters the jury entirely. Like, you live in a hotel until this is done.
Yeah.
Add catastrophe.
Catastrophe for everyone, too. I mean, the defense doesn't want a mistrial, I would imagine.
No, I can't imagine. The Judge Glanville is the chief judge of the court as a whole, and has, when not dealing with the YSL case, been like in a war room trying to figure out what's going on. And the county, frankly, has not been forthcoming about how serious this was. There was a counter on the website, like the ransomware website, that was counting down to 12:47 this morning. Well, I went to go look, and all of it's gone. Like, there's nothing on the site that indicates that Fulton County had ever been hacked, which implies Fulton County paid it off.
Wow.
Like, and I don't know how many Bitcoins it was. Like, I think the number was 20, might have been 50. I don't even know. Like, some absurd number. I've asked the county to tell me whether or not they paid it. I've asked the county to tell me whether or not any of this stuff got out in the wild, and they're not telling me.
Wow.
In the meantime, how much of this do you think accounts for the pace in which the trial has been going?
Oh, the last couple
of
weeks? Like, I guarantee several of the days that we weren't having trial was because Glanville was off chasing hackers to the degree
he's, yeah, he's responsible for dealing with this, right?
Yeah. He is the person who's been coordinating the county's response, or like at the court system. Like, chief judge, he's the one who gets to make those calls.
Wow.
But he has been trying to play off. Like, at least, like, you know, not alarm
nothing
anybody.
Nothing about it in public. Like, nothing. Like, one day they closed it off because of a COVID. Like, somebody, like, I think a juror had COVID over the weekend or something like that. But I'm just saying, like, there's, like, some of the pace over the last 2 weeks has been because none of the court systems work.
And we've been trying so hard not to harp on just, like, the length in which this trial is going to take place. But between, you know, just how sprawling the indictment is, on top of stuff that is apparently out of their control, whether that's a hack, whether that's a juror catching COVID, or anything else. I mean, are we still going to be in court until the next Super Bowl? That seems to be the question that comes up every single time, just because for as much time as they do spend in court, it doesn't seem like much progress is being made.
No.
Talking about security, so there's this other leak. A few weeks ago, this was a big story where there was a phone call, a jail phone call leaked between Mariah the Scientist and Young Thug.
Right. So it's interesting. Like, the YSL case has had hacks in it and, like, weird data issues, like where, like, the Little Woody tape getting out. Or, like, a Zoom bomb where we're looking at guys, like, you know, whirling their
doing some
junk,
unsavory things.
Like, you know, free Young Thug. And it's happened more than once. But in this case with the Mariah the Scientist thing, it was, they call it a jail call, but what it was a visit. Like, it's a virtual visitation. That does not appear to have been a hack. That looks like it was requested as an open record,
which is something people don't know. Anyone can actually request things like this.
Right. I mean, I could. I didn't, but I could. Like,
but you don't have to be a reporter, right?
Yeah, you don't have to be a reporter. Like, you have to be a person whose identity is known, like, and say, this record, I want it. Like, you can request jail phone calls. You can say, give me all the jail phone calls for this and such person. I want to listen to them. And I've got a hard drive full of them from other cases. But this is the first time I'd seen a visitation where a visitation gets out. Honestly, I think that's over the line.
I agree.
Not that I think that Young, like, look, if you're a prisoner, you don't have privacy rights. But the people visiting you do. Mariah the Scientist is a human being who's been charged with nothing, and suddenly her relationship with Jeffrey Williams is on public display in an area which I would say is a very private one. So I asked the Cobb County Sheriff's Office, tell me who requested this piece of information.
And because that also is public record.
And that's the other side of this. Like, if you're going to do something, like, I get
have
to—
the balls.
Like, to stand up and say, it was me.
Well, let me just say, first of all, this created a huge uproar. I mean, there were people, like, Drake tweeted about how he thought this was ridiculously unfair that somebody in the jail would leak this call. And everybody, I think, thought that it must be somebody on the inside because they're not really aware of how this open record system works.
Right.
So you're saying like some deputy just hacked it out of the system and sent it to somebody, and that's not what happened.
Right.
Instead, an email from a blog, and by the way, this I'm reading it, dear blogger Francoise McMillan, who apparently is a local writer, a blogger here in Atlanta, made this request on 8/24/2023, asking for the jail records, like around Jeffrey Williams, like including this one. It looks like according to the Cobb County Sheriff's Office, and we went back and forth for a while, because apparently there are a lot of people who are asking for records from the Sheriff's Office. Mm. This is the one that actually resulted in that video, so I am told.
We don't know how it got online necessarily,
right?
But we do know that this person is the one who
initially got it out of the jail. And right. So the next question is for her, like Francoise McMillan, what did you do with this video? Did you sell it to somebody? Did you post it yourself under an assumed name and then somebody else picked it up? Like how did it get out of your hands? And what were your thoughts there?
And why?
Yeah.
Why? Like why?
Because I don't think there's a whole lot of probative value in, like, I don't think we learned something deep and new and interesting about Young Thug.
No, it's that Young Thug gave a Christmas gift.
Well, and it raises the question, why are these open records? I mean,
that's my next question.
And,
yeah.
And an interesting point that we talked about when we were talking about all this a few weeks ago, just between us, was that if, you know, you would think that, oh, if this had relevance to the case, maybe it could be an open record. But no, then it would become evidence and would be closed to the public. So,
like, I get why the sheriff's office and investigators would want to be able to see all of this stuff.
Sure.
Like, because you don't want somebody, like, say, go kill somebody. Like, hey, I'm meeting with you and it's private, and so I'm going to tell you to go whack someone. Like, you really don't want that to be possible for anybody. Like, but if that's not what's happening, then don't get me wrong. Like, I am an advocate for open records, like, bar none. I'm the guy who's going to stand up and ask for the record nobody else should look at. Like, but I'm always going to have a really good reason. Like, I think this deserves, like, a serious public conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ethical quandary. I mean, we knew the whole time that we could request this stuff, and we never did. Because what will we do with it? I mean, it's, you know, that's not something that we can make an episode out of.
It's like awfully weird. Like, I don't know. I don't know. That's kind of like, even though I know it's public record and, you know, like when you are incarcerated, you relinquish your rights to a lot of things. But like George said, like the people that love you, they do have rights, and that's not cool.
The one other thing here for me is that Jeffrey Williams has not been convicted of a crime.
Right.
He is sitting in jail. He's awaiting charges to be resolved one way or another. And so I think there's a moral distinction to be made between, like, because he, like, jail is coercive, like, you don't have privacy.
Mm.
Like, it's another thing if he's a person who's been convicted of a crime and is serving a sentence, and you pull that jail record and you pull that phone call, that's, I think there's a moral distinction to be made there.
Right.
But this man is innocent until proven guilty, and who am I to take advantage of that under these conditions?
So it's not a form of jail misconduct, technically, as Drake accused, but it definitely hits on some moral gray area, among many other things in this trial.
For sure.
Yeah.
Francoise McMillan, tell us what the heck this was about.
Yeah, send, drop us a line.
Yes.
Come on the show. We'll chat
with you.
Yeah, we
want to know, Miss Ma'am.
Miss Ma'am. Is there anything else that you feel like we should be looking out for in the coming weeks? I mean, among other things, we have like one defense attorney who wants out on this whole thing entirely.
Yeah, you Little Rod's attorney, right?
Mm-hmm. Angela DeWilliams.
And that's actually who, that's why they're not having court today, because they're doing some motions for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know.
And she's basically just making the claim that this is getting way too unaffordable for her, right? I mean, she's been saying that. She's been saying that for a long time.
Is that the one that said that she would make more working at Chick-fil-A?
OnlyFans. I think she might have said Chick-fil-A too, but she also talked about selling pictures on OnlyFans to make ends meet.
Yeah, she's been looking to the gig economy.
So
for
I have
sure.
a question about that. If an attorney or if like a public defender was to go the OnlyFans route, would that be a conflict of interest or is that legal?
Oh man, I don't know if that's a question that we could answer. We should definitely look into that though. I feel like it
I
would
want
probably
to ask
be,
a lawyer. But
I feel like it'd be legal, probably frowned upon, but
that's exactly right. Legal but frowned upon. You're not supposed to create the appearance of impropriety. And the question is this an appearance of impropriety? Like
just limit it to your feet, you know? Then you're good.
Unless you have improper feet.
No, I have a friend. She makes a lot of money on her feet.
Yeah.
She makes a lot
That's
of
a
money.
Thing.
Like it's like a fetish thing for some people. And she gets paid, like she gets paid a lot more than a lot of people that like expose their entire nakedness. Like it's really interesting.
Well, whatever works. No kink shaming from me.
That's right.
Right. We love you all, whatever you're into.
Well, I feel like that's the perfect note to end the show. Right? I feel like, you know, we got there. We got all the way to OnlyFans feet pages. Well, thanks for listening this week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We're every other week here. And if you're listening to this on the podcast feed, know that you can watch this on the iHeart YouTube page as well. So we're on video as well.
King Slime is a production of iHeart Podcasts and Heirloom Media.
It's written and produced by George Chidi, Christina Lee, and Tommy Andres.
Mixing, sound design, and original music by Evan Tyre and Taylor Chacoin.
The executive producer and editor is Tommy Andres.
Our theme music is by Dunn Deal. Special thanks to Carl Cadle.
For more shows from iHeart Podcasts, visit the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.